Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again with another series of positional previews. I want to remind everybody that these are brought to you by Louisiana Hot Sauce and our longtime friends For the Table Restaurant Group. Bud, this is one of the favorite things that we do every year, something that I personally look forward to, and it's as good of an indicator that the season is soon to come as anything that's on my calendar.
Ingram, happy to be doing with you again, man. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going to happen this season. We're going to actually pull some audio maybe or some quotes from last year's positional previews to see what we got right and, importantly, what we got wrong, where we can improve and make some predictions.
Let's get into it. Time to turn our focus to the defensive backs, and this should be a fun conversation. A lot of intriguing pieces here. A couple guys, one gentleman in particular that really emerged last year, confident in saying you have maybe two of the better pieces that anybody has in the country when it comes to having people play in your back four, and a lot of other ancillary or supporting pieces that could give you a lot of optimism for what this group could be as we move into 2017.
Yeah, man, I'm going to double down on the optimism. We had optimism last year, and I know we'll talk about that a little bit. And that optimism was, you know, not necessarily as warranted as it should have been. We had received positive reports out of practice that they were playing really well, and they faced some up-tempo offenses early on, and some position changes that they had made didn't take. Coaching staff did a poor job of getting calls in and making sure guys were in the right positions. And this year is a year they have to show that they can get that fixed. Last year we heard the narrative that they had simplified the defense in the second half of the year. Well, maybe so, but I'm still in wait and see mode somewhat with that because they didn't face, you know, very many good up-tempo offenses down the stretch last year. But still, I'm optimistic about this group because I feel like we have more proven pieces in certain spots, and I know the talent level of these guys, and it's just you should produce an elite-level secondary when you have this much talent.
Last year's title to the positional preview was something to the likes of Florida State secondary would be good, comma, but it has Derwin James. And as we know all too well, Florida State secondary for much of the year didn't have Derwin James and still had the pieces there to be a good product, got better as the year went on, but there were some real rough spots and a misevaluation of talent on the roster that is a little bit scary the more that I look back and think about it. So I'm not trying to be particularly harsh on a kid. Marcus Lewis was a guy that we, myself in particular, didn't judge last year, didn't rate properly, bought into the offseason hype too much. And it wasn't just so much that a kid that who was real physical and maybe adapted or struggled to adapt to being able to how much physicality he could actually employ when there were officials and live game situation. But it was also a guy that just had a little bit of a poor game when it came to being ready to take over the starting position, but also didn't know where he was. And a lot of the mental breakdowns at times was the defense's fault and as a whole. But it certainly looked like Lewis was leading the pack in some of the missed responsibilities, and particularly some of the pre-snap confusion that drove us so crazy through the first four or five games last year.
Yeah, exactly right. Just the number of snaps that they were just uncompetitive snaps, right? Guys who just started out to play in the wrong position or in the wrong call. That was disappointing. Obviously not having Derwin hurt them a whole lot, and that's something they'll look to get better on. But I do think they got better with some of the calls down the stretch last year. And this year, they have Derwin James, and hopefully we'll have him healthy for the entire season because he really is the ultimate weapon. And that they only have really one significant loss on this defense.
So you lose Marques White, who was a good player, solid guy for the program, always a net positive in the locker room and just the general program from everybody that I talked to, but a guy who didn't maybe have quite the year that we would have thought either. And Quilt Island was a nice nickname, or Quilt, excuse me, and then Quez Island, two nice nicknames that made themselves out there. But unfortunately, Marques, we looked it up going into the year. I think we would have projected Marques White to maybe be drafted anywhere, maybe a second-round pick, best-case scenario, maybe. Maybe I'm being too optimistic there. But maybe somewhere between the second and fourth round. If memory serves me correct, he either went with the last – or second to last pick in the sixth round. He just didn't have that good of a year. And I'm not trying to belittle somebody once they're gone or anything, but you know, part of the problems last year was that the guy that you're looking to replace didn't necessarily step his game up in the way that you might hope, just through the normal trajectory of a kid as he makes his way through the program.
Yeah, and thus I think his maybe not quite as good as hope performance last year gives us current hope that we're going to be able to replace him pretty well. Four interceptions, you know, a couple other pass breakups. Had a fine year, just, you know, not an overwhelming year, not a dominant year. Not always good against the run, by the way, which I know we'll talk about a little bit later as well. But man, there are very few secondaries out there that I would trade this secondary for, and a lot of that is because of the first guy we're going to talk about.
Yeah, certainly. You called him appropriately a second ago the ultimate weapon, and that's the truth. And look, at this point, everybody's had their chance to see all the accolades and all the preseason notations and where he's ranked by certain publications. Derwin's a freak. You know, it's not too hard to remember his freshman year where he had, 91 tackles and a certain amount of forced fumbles. Just a kid who plays with a different skill set than what we see as far as that type of body, being able to make just hit after hit after hit. Literally, you can flex him out anywhere from playing center field for you in the safety position to situational rush defensive end. As physically gifted as probably anybody that's played defense here since Antonio Cromartie, and a guy who has a chance to be one of the household names and main storylines of college football this season.
He's just so special, man. Like, I really think if he plays to his ability, he'll leave here and we'll say that's the best safety Florida State's ever had. And, I mean, that's pretty high praise, but has Florida State ever had a safety that Sports Illustrated rated as the number one player in the whole country?
No, I mean, the two best safeties in Florida State history, and I immediately think back, are Chris Hope was a very good player. Derek Gibson was right there too. So those are those two. But really, the guy who's on the Mount Rushmore of Florida State secondary for me, and his name gets lost because he played a little while ago, is Leroy Butler. That's probably the guy that Derwin James would be looking to unseat as the best safety in program history.
And that's going to be tough to do because Butler made so many plays. I think James already has the title, I think, of the most talented safety. Mm-hmm. Right now, the injury has hampered his ability to show it. He lost, 13 games worth of chances last year after the injury. But talent wise, I don't think there's really any doubt, man. I mean, just the ability he has to change the game and to alter the game and to mess with opposing game plans is just unmatched. I mean, he's 6'2", like 210, 220, whatever. I think he said he was 220 the other day. Wants to play at like 215, 218. It's just that the guys don't do what he can do, right? I mean, with the top-end speed, with the ability to patrol the secondary, and then the ability to bench press an opposing offensive tackle into the ground from a defensive end position, right, while rushing the quarterback, and then the ability to drop down and play at linebacker depth and be really effective there. He's been doing it since high school. He was the only guy who I ever really thought, okay, is a better player in the state than Derwin or than Dalvin Cook when they were playing at the same time. You know, Dalvin's a year older. Man, he's just that damn good. And I feel like the last year they had really built a defensive game plan around using him, as I would too. Mm-hmm. And when he went down, that did mess them up. You know, that they had, like we talked about, misevaluating whether Lewis could handle the star position was big because he couldn't, right? Like that he got it a lot less than I think anybody else thought he would get it.
Right.
After he lost out on the field corner battle to McFadden, Then the other issue was Derwin going down. They were like, damn, now we're down two guys, and that was big because they were planning on using him all over the field. I think that's what they'll do with him this year as well. Like for instance, if you're playing a team that's not a great passing team, I might just put Derwin up there at star. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Especially if it's a team that's like a heavy RPO team or a team that likes to run their quarterback a lot and throw a bunch of screens or whatever, maybe Alabama. I'm putting him up closer to the line of scrimmage to affect the game more, right? I'm not that worried about taking away a deep ball if the opposing team doesn't throw the deep ball very well. That's scary to have him coming off the edge because his burst, his quickness, and his size, man, that's going to mess some people up, right? Like he gets to people. I'm trying to think the last guy we said did this. It might have been Joyner. The ability to for the quarterback to take the snap, look you off, right, and then have the internal clock, all right, I've got this much amount of time before this guy comes.
Right.
And to consistently misevaluate how much time you actually have because that guy is moving so much faster than you think, that's a rare trait, man. Most guys can't do that. Derwin can do that. They're going to use him in pass rush. They're going to use him playing deep safety, you know, at his free safety spot. They're going to use him at backer. They're going to use him in the star. I think maybe more than people realize, especially against some of these teams that don't chuck it around all that well. And considering the slate of quarterbacks FSU faces this year, that might happen a little more often than it otherwise would have. Last year they faced a boatload of great quarterbacks, which we should say, by the way. I mean, I don't think any Florida State team has ever faced a tougher group of quarterbacks than the 2016 Noles did. And that impacts, like if you look at their final defensive rankings, most of them were pretty good when you use the opponent-adjusted numbers because those opposing offenses tore up everybody. You know, this was still a very good defense last year. It just wasn't like number one in the country good. And it wasn't, you know, it did not get off to a great start. I think that, you know, if they had had Derwin for most of the year, obviously, I mean, this is probably the dust statement of the year, Ingram, but they would have finished higher.
Certainly would have been a better collective unit. And one of the reasons why the group was as good as it ended up being as far as just statistical production and the way that you felt about it by the end of the year is Tavarius McFadden. There wasn't a debate long as to who was ultimately going to be the starter at boundary. McFadden made it his own, and McFadden very quietly at the beginning of the year had a nice season, then all of a sudden just had a statistical explosion where, look, if you're going to associate any particular position with how people grade their production, it's with the interceptions. And Tavarius McFadden turning in 8 last year, I believe led the country or tied for lead in the country, is something that will catch everybody's eye. And it's a kid that a lot of people are already talking about potentially being a top 10 pick when he does decide to go pro.
Yeah, certainly could. I mean, he has the size NFL teams are looking for. He's 6'2.5", 200. Showed last year that I think he has the athleticism. Now, you know, he's going to need to keep getting better at that. A ton of hype on McFadden, and I think most of it is justified. But I feel like people are basing some of it on just the number of interceptions he had last year, right? I mean, he had 8 picks, which is I don't know, did that lead the country? If it didn't, it has to be up there pretty close. People don't generally get 8 interceptions in a college season, pulling us up here. Yeah, he was tied for the national lead with Rasul Douglas of West Virginia, and then Malik Hooker had 7 for Ohio State. Look, 8 picks is awesome, right? I mean, just really awesome. Kind of an oddity here. You know, he only had 16 yards of returns on those 8 picks.
He seemed to make a lot of plays down in the other team's field, corner of the field, made a lot of interceptions that took himself out of bounds. He just did a real good job of finding the ball, high pointing the ball, but was not a guy necessarily, you know, there are not too many Terrell Buckley type highlights where he undercuts an out or something like that and takes it 64 yards the other way.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't jumping a lot of routes. He was just there. They thought the guy was more open than he was, and he made the pick. He won contested balls. He contested them. This year, I look for him to get even better running with guys, right? Like not getting burned deep. Not that he was, you know, very often, but I think there were a couple times where he was, where maybe the quarterback missed the throw. Can he get slightly faster? You know, can he get slightly more agile? We'll see. I think he's going to be more comfortable this year. You know, he knows he goes in as one of the leaders of this secondary. And speaking of leaders, I think this is in large part where your defensive leaders come from, right? James, McFadden, these type of guys are your leaders of this team. I like McFadden a ton, man. I mean, I think he would start for pretty much every team in the country. A lot of people think he's the top corner in the country. There's a lot of good ones, but he's right up there. That kind of length and size, I do want to see him be more physical, you know? You're that big. I want to see more of those devastating jams. I want to see more of him just destroying guys when they try to block him in the run game, right? And become more of a force against the run. That's something that Jalen Ramsey did, another big corner that so far McFadden has not done. But hey, he's only in his second year as a starter, and we'll see what he can do. But God, he is, that's a hell of a piece to build your secondary around.
Yeah, very much is. Before we move away from McFadden, just want to say one thing. If we look back, and not that necessarily you and I would have this conversation, but just as a general fan base, I would not judge McFadden on his interceptions this year. It's not, if he has five interceptions at the end of the year, it doesn't necessarily mean that he fell off as a player. You just don't.
Right, he's not going to have that many picks this year.
Interception, all turnovers have an element of luck tied to them, right? Probably not going to have that many picks this year, and it doesn't mean necessarily that the guy regressed as a player. It just means that that's probably not going to happen. And if nothing else, teams are going to have a better idea as to who he is, where he is, and what they can't do with him. And as you mentioned, that's you don't want to throw some lofted, contested pass McFadden's way. He's more times than not, kid's going to come down with it, and we'll see how much of that happens. But still, a super talented player and a guy that, you can have a whole hell of a lot of optimism if you think that Derwin James and McFadden stay healthy and play at the level that they potentially could this year.
Well, okay, in addition, people threw at him last year because they knew White was more of a known commodity. This year, they're not going to throw it as much because I'd rather test the guys on the other side of the field. The backup here so far through camp has been Carlos Becker, who is a sophomore now? Yeah. Really long, athletic guy, very good long jumper. He's actually on FSU's track team. Played some corner, played some safety last year. I think he wants to be a corner, wants to get on the field. I mean, again, the size they have in the secondary with some of these guys is really nice. I mean, Becker has the length and can be a physical guy. I think keeping him at one spot mostly could actually help his development and could be a really nice piece to have maybe this year for depth or maybe next year if McFadden makes the leap and goes pro.
Yeah. It's a good little look at what's going on at boundary. Bud, field corner, probably going to be decided between Levante Taylor, Stanford Samuels III, as somebody we've mentioned over the past couple weeks. And then Kyle Myers has been a name that's always been associated with somebody that might take snaps here.
Yeah, Levante Taylor, former five-star corner coming out of high school. Now he's a sophomore. I don't know if you want to call his first year disappointing, but he certainly didn't get on the field as much as you might have expected him to. But from all accounts, he's worked hard. He's doing well at the position. And the only question there is really his size, right? Like that's been the question since high school, but he plays bigger than his size. Excellent speed, excellent quickness. Can he play his assignment? Can he be physical against the run, physical enough against the run at, 5'9", 175-ish, right? We've had guys do it before. You don't necessarily have to be huge. I know they like the bigger guys, but just a very talented player, and I think a guy who can have a good year if he wins that starting job. Very instinctive player, too. Now, that sometimes we say instinctive, and then it turns out the guy is just a gambler. You got to be instinctive within the confines of the defense, but he's a player I like.
Stanford Samuels, third guy that's received a decent amount of hype recently, done a lot to impress everybody since he came on campus. Kid that has all the physical talent in the world, has a work ethic and approach to the game that at least early returns say pair pretty well with that. And a guy that, man, two kids here that are super talented, and to think that one of them ultimately is not going to be the starter gives you a lot of optimism. True, Samuels is a true freshman, but a true freshman that would play and potentially start at a hell of a lot of programs across the country.
Exactly right. And look, I think if he stays healthy, he's 3 in NFL. Now, that may sound crazy for a guy that's not taking a snap, but I think he has that level of ability. Look, he's got the size. He's a legit, 6'1.5", 6'2". He's skinny right now, but he'll get bigger. He's got the instincts. Right, he made plays all over the field in high school. He is a very smart football player. He also played quarterback for his team and got kind of dinged up doing so. But I feel like that helps him understand opposing offenses some. He's got the pedigree. Obviously, his dad was a very good player for Florida State. You know, he grew up around the program. I think he's been kind of a man on a mission the whole time. It's kind of amazing to me that we're talking about a true freshman maybe starting at field corner. You know, now I don't know if it's actually going to happen, but the fact that he's actually made a bit of a push for this, I think, is a testament to his work ethic. You know, to get over the shoulder injury and to get out there and to be in the mix. He's got the athleticism. You know, he's got good top end speed. He's got good feet. He shuts guys down. And if he's not starting this year, I think he's a definitive 2-year starter after this year, and a really top end level talent who dropped down to a 4-star, I guess, on the ratings, probably due to some injuries last year that may have hampered him a little bit down the stretch in his senior season. But the guy that I know Florida State was just over the moon to have.
Absolutely. Third name, Kyle Myers.
Yeah, Kyle Myers, who they got out of New Orleans last year. He actually played a little bit more than I think people thought. Now, he's a guy who generally will play his assignment, right? He's got decent athleticism. He's a little bit bigger than Levante Taylor by I don't know, maybe 2, maybe 3 inches. Not necessarily a freakish athlete, but look, if you play in Florida State secondary, for the most part, you're pretty athletic. He's a guy that I know they like, they can move around too. We're going to talk about him some when we talk about the star position. We're going to talk about him some, you know, at free safety as well when they drop Derwin down. All these guys are possibilities here. You may not have necessarily one lockdown starter at field corner. I'm not saying it won't happen, but there's a possibility that they could rotate that position some.
Yeah, very true. Something to remember. And the guy who would probably most likely be involved in rotation is Myers. As you mentioned, he's got a little more flexibility into where you can deploy him. And but if we're going to talk about flexibility and guys that might get played in different positions or rotated somewhat, three guys that stand out to us in this unit that can play safety and some star. Myers is one of them. The two other being A.J. Westbrook and Trey Marshall.
Exactly right. So we have Kyle Myers, who we just talked about. The thing with him at the star position, and by the way, for folks who might be new to the podcast, the star position is essentially what you would call the nickelback, right? When the Sam linebacker comes off the field, the star position, the nickelback, comes on. This is in their 4-2-5 alignment or in their dime alignment. So he's essentially the nickel. Now, we call him the star. That's the terminology FSU uses. But if you're new out there, if you're confused, what's a star? What kind of star position? No, it's not a safety. It's just the nickelback. So it's essentially a combination of corner and safety. You know, can Myers be more physical this year when he plays that star position, right? We'd love him there at the star for his coverage ability, right? Or at least I do. But can he be more physical against the run? That's kind of my question with him there. You also have A.J. Westbrook, who I think is a guy that really knows his assignment, a pretty heady football player. You know, maybe not the most freakish athlete in the world, but a guy who is not somebody who you think is a liability out there, really. I like him, too. What year is Westbrook? Is he a sophomore now?
I believe so. Well, I think he's a junior. I misspoke.
Westbrook's a junior? Okay, you're right. Yeah. Okay. And then Marshall is a senior. Right. You know, you have Trey Marshall, a guy who is just a physical freak, too. I mean, just the top-end speed is really elite. He's very strong. Now, the hips there are not quite what they are with some guys. Like, I like him more in zone coverage. I like him more against the run than I do in man coverage, right? Which is something that is, I think, applicable both when he's playing star or when he's playing his more customary position of strong safety, which is where he normally starts. That's a really nice trio of guys to have at star when you're not playing Derwin there, right? You can play matchup ball, especially when you're not playing teams that are no huddle, right? I can say, okay, this down I want Myers in there, and this down I want Marshall in there, and this down I want Westbrook in there. That's a lot of versatility that I think is going to benefit the secondary quite a bit.
Absolutely. Very much in agreement there. Not as always a friendly transition for kids, but those that maybe don't have the versatility where they'll be moved around, we've got two guys that are pretty much safeties only here, and that is Nate Andrews, name everybody will be familiar with, some, you know, from his freshman year of 2013 to the entirety of his career that will come to an end this year, and then Ermon Lane, former wide receiver who made a nice move over and played at a much higher level than I think anybody could have anticipated.
Yeah, that was shocking. What Ermon Lane moving from receiver to safety, and mean, maybe the move wasn't as shocking, but the fact that he actually got on the field and wasn't terrible.
Instantly made a hell of a more of an impact in that Miami game in the first 5 minutes than he had at wide receiver in a long, long time.
And they needed him with the injuries in the secondary last year. It became a thing that wasn't just – he wasn't just nice to have. He was important to have for a minute there. Ermond Lane, Nate Andrews, two seniors in this defense. Both guys are somewhat limited physically, right? They're not guys who are going to be locked down in man coverage. I guess we'll see what we have in Lane. You know, I'm not necessarily anticipating him to play a ton, but it's possible he plays some. Nate Andrews is a guy who is going to back up Trey Marshall for the most part at the safety spot opposite of Derwin James. Now, Andrews certainly knows the defense, right? And he's a very heady player. The issue is that he's not that athletic. He's just limited physically. This is why, hell, we can go back to our 2014 show. And we said, hey, we loved what the kid did in 2013 playing in that money role, which is the sixth defensive back when two linebackers come off the field. And basically roaming, playing robber, which is a kind of more of a shorter zone, robbing underneath routes, that type of thing. He had 8 picks or something in 2013? It was a bunch, and people thought that was indicative of future stardom. But he was a 2 or 3 star, whatever he was rated, for a reason, and that was because of the athleticism. He just cannot be trusted to patrol a lot of space, right? But if you use him smartly, right, in certain coverages, have him play some robber, have him play some in the money role, let him be a good sort of elder statesman on this defense who can tell guys where they need to be. That's cool. If you have to depend on him to cover a lot of ground, that's not so good. He's going to be I still think he's going to play a couple hundred snaps this year. I don't really think he's going to be a starter, but there will be some defensive packages where he is going to be one of your deep safeties, and he'll also be in the money role.
Man, I wish the best for Andrews. Certainly a guy who's a little bit limited, and you're right, probably suffered from some false expectations and false hope. Based off that interception number that was turned in 2013. But certainly a guy who wants it, running around last year with half his damn arm hanging out, still trying to make plays. It'd be interesting to see how much we really see of him. And if nothing else, a guy who I'll always have a fondness for when I look at this year, just because it is the final tie to that 2013 season.
Oh, absolutely, man. Guy who – is he the last one off of 2013 who's still there? Almost has to be, right?
Yeah, certainly anybody who had any level of contribution from that team, yeah.
Yeah, oh, certainly the only contributor. I was just thinking about overall. Ryan Green was on that roster, I think.
Yeah, Green is the only guy that comes to mind.
You know, Thomas was on that roster.
Matthew.
And Hoskins was. A redshirt. Yeah, because he's a redshirt senior. He's a 13, 14, 15 – Yeah, but Nate was the only guy who actually played at all. You're exactly right about that. Speaking of a freshman who can make an impact, Hamza Nasruldeen has been really impressive at practice. I know Jimbo has given him a lot of praise. He's a 6'4". I don't know if he's quite 200, but he's maybe he is. 6'3", 6'4", 200-ish, 4-star. Florida State stole him away from South Carolina. He is sort of a hybrid linebacker / safety, and from what I've been told, the athleticism has really been flashing at practice. They think they got a good one with him. And he actually might play in some of their specialty dime packages where they have kind of four defensive ends on the field and then they have two quote-unquote linebackers, whether that's Hamza and Andrews, whether it's Hamza and James, and then you got three corners and then two deep safeties. That could be a very interesting, very athletic package, and I think that's going to mess some teams up this year. So I would expect him to play a prominent role on special teams, and also to play pretty well when he's out there. That type of athleticism and size, that plays.
Yep, Hamza's going to play this year. They're enamored with him, love what they have, and also want to get him ready to play a much, much larger role next year. I think you'll see a decent amount of Nasruldeen, and in time could be a kid, not that you didn't have to, you know, fight that battle and win it ultimately, but the fact that you went into South Carolina and signed that kid could be a nice little moment in the program's history, and somebody that I think will leave if he stays healthy with a pretty decent amount of accolades tied to what he can do on the field.
So let's just recap real quick here for folks who might not, you know, have followed along the whole way. One corner spot is going to be McFadden. The other corner spot, probably Taylor Samuels or Myers. At the star position, you're looking at Myers, Westbrook, and Marshall some. At safety, Marshall, I think, is going to be your starter. Obviously, he's suspended for the Bama game, and we'll talk about that, or for the first half, and we'll talk about that during our Bama preview. And then at the other spot, other safety spot, Derwin James, that's pretty obvious, with the exception of when he drops down and plays star. And your guys with the real versatility other than Derwin are your Myers, Westbrook, and Marshall. So they're going to move around a lot. Your corners are pretty much going to stay the same, in my opinion. So that's a heck of a secondary right there, man. But one thing they really need to improve on, Ingram, and I know you've noticed this as well, they got to get better against the run outside the tackles, man. That was an issue.
Yeah, there are some nasty stats attached to last year's defense that particularly detailed this, one of which is of what the Power 5 teams, Florida State finished 55th out of 56 teams when allowing explosive runs outside the tackle. I mean, that's hard to believe. I'd love to know how much of that's specifically tied to the Louisville game, but that is a stat that is makes you cringe and gives you a little bit of an idea as to some of the dysfunction and miscommunication that surrounded this defense at the beginning of the year.
So 55th out of 56, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ingram, that's not too good. Now, I think some of that was a lack of physicality at times, but the greater part of that was guys being out of position due to not playing their assignment correctly or not knowing their assignment, right? That's how we call those busts. And that's how big runs happen, when guys are out of position, which causes them to be blocked a lot more easily, right? You could be physical, but if you're out of position, you're probably still going to get blocked, or at least, like, if you're way out of position, I don't have to execute a perfect block on you, right? I just got to get a piece of you,
right?
And there's no way you're going to get back to the play in time to actually make a play. They've got to get a lot better at that. I think that's something that's been preached in practice for sure, physicality from the DBs. We'll talk about this some in the linebacker preview too, but that's a stark difference. I mean, eighth best rate with runs inside the tackles, 55th outside. That's night and day. They've absolutely got to get better at that, because there's some teams that are going to look to run the ball outside on them for sure. Louisville will look to hit it again. I'm sure Alabama will. Clemson will. Hell, every team that sees that should look to test Florida State's defensive backs and see if they're willing to be tough and physical. Because, you know, these numbers weren't like this when Jalen was here. You know, Jalen shut down a whole side and really caused some problems. Those guys got to get a lot more physical, and they got to play their assignment in a more disciplined fashion. And having number three back, Derwin, is, in my opinion, going to alter this stat a lot this year too.
Yeah. Having number three in your secondary helps in all areas and would do a hell of a lot of good when it comes to what you're able to do in defending the run. Like I said, I expect this stat to come down significantly. A lot of it's tied to the Louisville game, but still, you know, that's the product that you put, and that's what you judged when you put numbers into the system. So can't put too big of an asterisk on one particular game. But let's have a little bit of an over-under conversation here. Last year, the secondary as a whole had 15 interceptions. So that's right about what Florida State's average historically. I know 2013 has a big outlier with, what, 25 or 26 picks, something like that. Year before was 8, and those are about the two biggest swings in that number that I can remember over the past 10 or 12 years. If we were going to set that number at 14.5 for this year, where would you go with your initial reaction?
I'm actually going to go over, right? Because then I think a lot of this matters. Look, interceptions are a good part of luck. Okay, it is. But the other issue is the quality of opponent. And in 2013, Florida State played probably the most god-awful slate of quarterbacks I can ever remember. I mean, they just, a lot of those balls were just thrown right to them. They were also a defense where every single person, I think, got drafted, right? I think all the starters on that defense got drafted. So, you know, that was a pretty talented unit. This year, the quality of quarterbacks they're going to face is going to drop off from what it was last year. So while I don't think McFadden himself will have as many, getting Derwin back, Ingram, I think they're going to go over that 14.5. I think they're going to get probably maybe 17 or 18.
Yeah, that's not a bad number. Maybe something that will be more indicative as to how the season actually goes and your wins and losses. Where do you believe they rank on runs outside the tackle? The stat that we just referenced last year was 55 out of 56. Where do you think they may rank this year amongst the Power Five, over under the 20th best defense against runs outside the tackle?
Ooh, I think I will go with, I'm going to say better, man. I'm high on this defense. I think they're going to play a lot better. And I think, again, the opposing quarterbacks thing is going to factor in here too. If they're not afraid of quarterbacks throwing as much this year, then I believe that they're going to focus more on the run.
Good deal. Well, it's a unit look. If you want to look for embarrassment of riches on this roster, you look at defensive line and you look at what you have in the secondary. It's a ridiculously talented unit, a group that has pretty significant depth, and two players in particular that look to have very, very bright NFL futures. So when you want to have the biggest dreams of what Florida State season can be, it in large part involves those two parts of your defense. And we'll have to see exactly how well they play as to how good of a season Florida State can ultimately have. But look, if they're gonna have the number of interceptions that we talked about, and they're gonna be able to play the run, then this is the unit that ultimately we hope it can be. So it'll be a lot of fun to watch two guys in particular that have a chance to be some of the better players in program's history. But for now, I think that's a pretty good look at why there's a healthy sense of optimism surrounding a Florida State secondary moving into the 2017 season.
This concludes this episode of the Knollcast. Make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Write us at thenollcast@gmail.com or tweet us at Knollcast. Y'all can't go anywhere this week. We got a ton of content. We still got to talk about linebackers. We got the seasonal preview coming up, and we got the Alabama game preview coming up later this week. It's going to be a huge week for Knollcast listeners. All y'all got to do is just tune in. Today's date is August 28th, 2017. For Ingram Smith and Bud Elliott, this is your producer, Judson Wright, signing out.